Praise the Lord. If you'd turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 6, and as you're turning, I just want to reiterate that you may not even know we've had a special day planned, but we would strongly want you to know that you're invited to lunch after service and to be a participant in the events of the day. And also, we do this on real rare occasions, but there, since we're having a afternoon sing-spiration type of service, and we want folks just to hang around and fellowship, we will not be having service tonight. And I appreciate the attitude of our folks when you announce we're not having Sunday night service. They say, oh no, why can't we? I mean, let's, you know, some places they break out and cheer, but I hate to disappoint you, but because of the events of the day, we will not be having our evening service. Amen. I told the choir before we came out, I know this is a special day, but we don't want to play act in having church. We want to have church. And to have church, it takes the moving of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that you would feel the sense of eternity in the house. Our God is a living God. He's still speaking to folks. He's still changing lives. He's still turning around impossible situations. How many believes that? I don't know what your need is, but I know there's a God in heaven, the eternal God, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. And we desire His Spirit to be here. Amen. Today. Well, looks like half our amen corner went to get chicken. So you guys are going to have to really say amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We'll just read one verse, the last verse of this chapter. And what a chapter it is. Amen. Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. If it ended there, we'd be in dismay. But the verse doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to read that one more time. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there's truly bad news about man. You hear it every day. But the bad news is answered with the good news. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's an answer for the bad news? It's the good news. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody smile. We don't have sour medicine to offer. We got good news. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me and for me? Heavenly Father, shut up my heart to the truth. Lord, help us to hear the voice of the Spirit. Lord, that somebody's eternity would be changed this morning. That someone would encounter their Savior, Lord, and leave here born again. Leave here with the hope of heaven. Leave here a changed creation. Oh, God, give hope where there seems to be no hope. Hallelujah. God, let somebody know that they haven't gone too far this morning. That you're able to save them because you're mighty to save. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, your Son, and what He's accomplished. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As the church folks know, we got three adult children that are gone, and we got one child still at home to liven up our lives. Andrew just turned 10, so we're still dealing with school things. And one of the things you deal with school-age children is you want to know how their day went. Sometimes you don't want to know how their day went. But last week, Andrew got home from school, and he came in, and he knows we're going to ask him. So he didn't even wait for us to ask him. He just came bursting through the door, and he said, Dad, do you want the good news first or the bad news? I knew it had been a rough day. I said, well, I think I'll settle on the bad news first. And then hopefully the good news will pick us up from there. That's what I want to preach about this morning. The bad news and the good news. You know, I have found it's only when one recognizes how good the good news is that takes place when he's first recognized how bad the bad news is. Let me say it another way. When we recognize how bad the bad news is, then we recognize how good the good news is. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to for a moment here just agree with most of the world. And I'm even going to agree with a big bulk of the church world. Here's what I'm going to agree with. Preaching about sin is old-fashioned. I'm going to agree with them. And then I'm going to say, because this is old-fashioned Sunday, I'm going to preach about sin. You see, for a man to accept the good news, he's got to recognize there's some bad news. And Paul, in this one verse of Scripture, he gives us both the bad news and the good news. The bad news is, for the wages of sin is death. But the good news is, the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even you say, I don't want to hear the bad news. It's in hearing the bad news that you recognize you need the good news. Let's look what Paul says in this one verse. First of all, he tells us, he declares to us that sin is what is wrong with man. Sin is what is wrong with man. For the wages of sin is death. You know, if you're listening today when the world is confronted with all the problems, all the troubles, all the difficulties of man, they always give an answer that deals with money. The reason man has problems, he doesn't have enough money, or he doesn't have enough education, or he's got the wrong government, or he has the wrong environment, and they make the problem everything else than what it is. I know there's a lack of money for some folks, but why isn't there enough money? I know there's government's wrong in some places, but why is the government wrong? Amen. I don't think man's problem is money, lack of education, the wrong environment. I think man's problem is what Paul said it is. Man's problem is he's a sinner. He's got something wrong with his heart. Amen. Years ago in London, the editor was writing an editorial about what's wrong with the world. And he was talking about the problems of industry and the problems of government and the social problems and poverty. And every day there was a new installment. What's wrong with the world? It's poverty. What's wrong with the world? It's lack of education. And at the time, living was the great apologist. G.K. Chesterton, and he wrote a letter to the editor, and he began his letter with the title of the series. He says, "What is wrong with the world? I am yours truly, G.K. Chesterton." Oh, he saw it clearly. The thing that is wrong, the problem of man, it's the problem of heart. It's sin. We're living in a time when no one wants to say that anything is wrong with man. Man's okay. Man doesn't have the problem. The environment has the problem. Amen. Man, it's not in himself that the problem lies. It's his government. Have you ever seen somebody, their life is a mess. They're suffering the consequences of sin. Everything's falling apart. Everything's in a mess. And you ask them, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. Would you like to pray? No, I'm okay. Don't you need Jesus? No, I'm okay. And that's the whole sentiment of mankind, of our world and society. Man is okay. But I'm here to preach, man's not okay. Man's got a problem. It's called sin. And God is so serious about man's problem that you can look there at that cross and know it must have been extremely awful for him to send his son to die to take care of that problem. Something is wrong with man. I want to put the emphasis there. Something. You may not agree with me what it is, but something is wrong with man. Even I talked to someone a while back, and I could tell something was wrong. And I said, are you all right? Yes. And I looked at them. I could tell by their face. I say, no, something is wrong with you. Even man can try to deny it. Even, but he's got a problem, and it's called sin. How can one look at what man does? How can one look at what is done to man and not not see that something is wrong? Look at our society, the dysfunctional family, the directionless youth, the crime, the greed, the molestation, the perversion, the pain, the suffering, their abuse. Sin is what is wrong with man, and it causes him to have the problems that he has, not just on the whole with the human race, but individually sin causes the problems. Amen. Sin is what's wrong with the family. Can you say amen? Sin is what's wrong with the marriage. Sin is what's wrong with our government. Sin is what's wrong with our economy, our education system. Amen. If man is the way man is supposed to be, then there's no hope. I want you to think of that for a moment. If man has no problem, if man's all right, if man is as man is supposed to be, there's no hope. This is all there is to it. Even the problems are going to stay with us. But the minute I admit something's wrong with man, then there's hope. Because if I can admit there's something wrong, then there must be something that can be fixed. There must be something that can be cured. There must be something that can be... Oh, hallelujah. I'm already getting to the good news. The moment I admit there's a problem with man, I can move on to say there is a solution. There is an answer. There is hope. There is help. And it's true on the individual basis. The moment you admit something's wrong, then there's hope for you. Till you admit that something's broken, there's nothing to be fixed. But when you admit it's broken, then you can move on to say there can be something or someone that can fix it. Hallelujah. Will someone say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I remember when Hannah at 10 years old had that rare immune disease and rolling around in the night on the floor in pain, never slept all night, night after night, in and out of the hospital, in and out of the emergency room, and hemorrhaging and all that pain. I don't know how many times we'd already been to the hospital. And every time we went, they said, well, we've ruled out this. It's not appendicitis. And we've ruled out this. It's not that. And it's not this. That one time she was in so much pain, the waiting room was full. I walked to the second desk right before you go in, the triage desk there. And I took Hannah. I was carrying her. She'd already lost about 20 pounds, just a skeleton. And I was carrying her in, and I laid her right down there on top of the desk in front of that nurse who was doing paperwork. She looked up. I said, yes, we're here again. And this time I didn't bring her in for you to tell me what's not wrong with her. I brought her in this time so you can tell me what is wrong. Even the world's out there, they rule out this, they rule out that, say this isn't wrong, that isn't wrong. I think it's time someone stood up and told man what is wrong. It's called sin. It's called disobedience to God. It's called breaking His commandments, His laws, His way. And oh, you say that's a negative thing. No, sir. Because the moment I admit what's wrong, then I can also go move on and say there is an answer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sin is the cause of what's wrong. Sin is death. There's death in every place you look today, and it's all been caused by sin. Amen. Somebody says, well, I don't sin. Look what Paul says in Romans 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John said in 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John said later in his epistle, for sin is the transgression of the law. I got to wear this after a while. Hallelujah. Some would say, well, I don't break the law. What are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt have no other God before you. Amen. How many's always put God first in your life? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Ever taken His name in vain? The Bible says, the commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. How many's always obeyed your parents all of your life? You never disobeyed your parents. Let me see your hand. Anyone here never disobeyed your parents? Amen. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You say, oh, I can check that one off. I've never killed. But Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without cause,
You're a murderer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I haven't done that either. The Bible says, whosoever looketh at a woman. How many really likes this old-fashioned stuff? If you look at a woman and lust after her, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You say, I've never stolen. Did you claim everything on your income taxes? Amen.
We don't like old-fashioned that well, do we?
Thou shalt not bear false witness. We'll just leave that alone. Thou shalt not covet. You sat there the whole service and said, I wish I had a tie like Pastor Hurst. Amen. You say, I'm not a sinner. I don't break God's commandments. The point is, our society, our world is living in rebellion to God's commandments. Amen. But sin is not only the cause of what is wrong with man. The consequences of sin is what is wrong with man. The wages of sin is death. Amen. I heard again this week, you know, all these people, they want to tan in the summer. They want to get that good tan. They think that looks good. You let a few years go by and all the damage that was created by tanning sets in. But they say it looks fun. It looks nice. You can go that route, but you'll pay one day. There is a pleasure in sin for a season, but it always comes with consequences. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose what the consequences of sin are going to be. The wages of sin is death. When you sin, you pay with the best of your years. You pay with the best of your energy. You pay with the best of what you have. And when you've paid in sin, sin begins to pay you back with a wage. Sin begins to give you a return in what you've invested. You've given your youth to sin, but sin will give you a payback from your investment. The wages of sin is death. How many believe there's always a return on sin? It'll always grow. It'll always pay back. It'll always have an exponential return. Amen. The word here is wages. Even the Romans were accustomed to that. That was the payment, the installment they received ever so often. And someone said the wages of sin is death. That's the final package. But when you sin, there are constant installments of misery and of pain and of suffering and of the breaking up of relationships. I'm telling you, God knew what he was talking about. Even the reason man has such a trouble is because of sin. That's his problem. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. The apostle James said, lust, when it conceives, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You say, wait a minute, I sin and I didn't die. That's the same mistake Adam and Eve made. God told them, in the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Amen. They ate of the fruit. They're still breathing air. But I'm telling you, they died. What they didn't realize, death doesn't come to man in just one fell swoop. But death comes to man in installments. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, their spiritual nature died. They quit experience communion with God and the touch of God. Their spiritual man died, but their emotional man, their mental man began to die, their physical man began to die. And then the worst of all death is the second death, when people do not know Christ and go into eternity without him. They're cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. Amen. Just stick with us here. We haven't got to the good news. This is the bad news. But I want to tell you up straight, sin will lead to death. It'll bring death to your marriage, death to your family, death to your relationships, death to your joy, death to your dreams, death to your hope. That's what sin does. It pays you back in death.
Amen. But the second part of the bad news is man can't help himself. Notice here in our verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you're talking about the problem, it's all on man's side.
But notice where the solution is. It's on the other side of the sentence. Even in this compound sentence. But the gift of God. The problem's on man's side, but the solution is all on God's side. Why? Because man cannot help himself. After admitting that man does have a problem, he's then faced with the dilemma. He's not able himself to fix his problem. I want you to know, we're trying different things. You can have stimulus packages. You can try new curriculum in the schools. But man cannot fix what is wrong. Man cannot cure his own sickness. Man cannot heal his own disease. Man cannot straighten out his own mess. He needs someone greater, higher, mightier, stronger, wiser, more gracious. Oh, hallelujah. Man cannot help himself. He's in a pit so deep, he can't climb out of it. He has debt so great, he can't possibly pay it. He's got a disease that needs operated on, and he can't operate on himself. Oh, but I read last night, the psalmist said, when I was in the pit, in the muck and the mire, I couldn't climb out on my own, but God reached down and he pulled me out of the pit and set my feet on a solid rock. No man can help himself. You say that's bad news. No, because the second half of that is God can help man when he can't help himself. Praise the Lord. And so the next part of this verse is the good news. God has graciously provided what man needs at the cost of his son. The gift of God is eternal life. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the two words I got stuck on, really, just that one preposition, of God, of God. What man needs doesn't come from his own storehouse. What man needs doesn't come from his own resources. What man needs comes from only one source. It comes from God. What we need, the only help we're going to get is going to come from God. How many wish our nation would wake up to that fact? What our nation needs is going to be found on this horizontal plane. What our nation needs is going to come from God. That's why we ought to turn our hearts, our attention, our affections vertically. How many believes it's time to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, to set our affection on things above and not on things. It's time to turn our hearts to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man could not help himself, but God has provided. It's of God. But I also want you to notice the word gift. The gift of God. Amen. You know, I don't go around to people saying to them, would you buy me a gift? Would you give me a gift? I don't do that. That would be rude. Sometimes I ask Sandra, what should I get me for her birthday? But I don't go around asking people to buy. You know, if there's a gift that comes from the initiative of the giver. We were in trouble, couldn't help ourselves, but we couldn't even ask God for help. But when we couldn't even ask him for help, he took the initiative and provided the gift. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the word gift, God initiates. Amen. You know, when I get a gift, it doesn't cost me a thing. No, sir. But I'm telling you, if I get a gift, it costs the giver of the gift. I know it's part of the gospel, and I agree with it. People say salvation is free. Amen. The blood of Jesus is free. Forgiveness is free. Amen. There's a bit of truth of that on our end. But I want you to know salvation is not free. Amen. God purchased the gift that he gave us. Oh, aren't you glad for the gift of God? Hallelujah. We're not saved by works which we have done. We're not saved by our own righteousness. We're saved because God has given us the gift of salvation, by giving us the gift of his son dying on the cross. Amen. God purchases our salvation. Amen. But another thing about the gift is you really don't deserve it. I mean, how many times have you got a gift and you were aware of that? You said to the person, you shouldn't have, or this is way too much. I mean, I know how many times I've said to my wife, "Amen, you spent too much on this for me." Oh, that's a good attitude to have when it comes to spiritual things, because the word of gift implies we are undeserving, we are unworthy. How many knows we're unworthy of the least of His mercy, but He's given us the best of them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not worthy to be saved. I haven't earned it. I haven't deserved it. I haven't merited it. But that's why salvation is by grace. What we did not deserve, He has given us. You see, I've been too bad. Great, you can be saved, because it's not on how good you've been. It's a gift of God. You see, I've done too many things wrong. It's not in what you've done. It's in what He's done. And He'll give you the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Well, glory, the gift of God. The only thing we can do, when you're given a gift, you don't earn it. There's only one thing you can do, is accept it. My heart is stirred about those that have heard the gospel, went away lost, because they would not accept what God had offered them. You say, where does belief come in? Belief comes in, and I know I don't deserve it. But I believe He died for me, and the gift is as much for me as any other man. How many knows He's not willing that any should perish? What God provides is the exact opposite of what afflicts man. The wages of sin is death. But what has God provided? Eternal life. God's that way. He'll take your discouragement and give you encouragement. He'll take your sorrow and give you joy. He'll take your sinful heart and give you a pure heart and a pure mind. Death is our problem, so He gives life, eternal life. That's not just a matter of quantity, a life that goes on and on and on. But eternal life is also a matter of quality. It's the life that's really living. It's a life worth living. It's abundant living. It's full living. Amen. I want you to know eternal life, amen, is this quality. You don't get eternal life when you believe Christ and die and then you go to heaven, and then that's when you get eternal life. When you get eternal life, not when you as a believer die and go to heaven. You won't be handed eternal life when you go through the pearly gates, Brother Wilson. But on that morning in that revival, those many years ago, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, He gave you eternal life. At that moment, you were born again. And when you were born again, you had eternal life enter into your heart. That's why you could stand from a sinner's prayer and say, I've just begun to live. Oh, I'm telling you, if you're born again this morning, you've already got eternal life in your heart. Praise God. There's a death while living. Paul said of the woman that lived in sin, she's dead while she liveth. There's a death while living, but there's also a life when dying. Hallelujah. I've seen our saints dying physically and coming fully alive in the presence of God. Well, last of all, man's problem is sin. Man cannot help himself. God has provided what man needs. But the last part of the good news is what man needs comes exclusively through Jesus Christ. Exclusively through Jesus Christ. You know, the thing about pinpointing a specific cause is then you can then prescribe a specific cure. If the doctor can't figure out what your problem is, he don't know what medication to give you to address that. That's why it's wonderful news just to be specific and say our problem is sin, because then we know the specific cure is Jesus Christ. How many still believes, this may be old-fashioned study, but you still believe salvation comes exclusively through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Brother, if there's another way to be saved, God messed up by sending His Son and letting Him go through all that and die. If there's another way to be saved. We have world-famous preachers today that will say on public television that there's other ways to be saved. I'm not going to get into it this morning. I'm going to finish this. But I'm telling you, if that's true, God's either a fool or He's cruel by letting Jesus die on the cross when there is another way. You know why Jesus died on the cross? There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. And so when we admit our problem is sin, we've messed up our lives, we need to take the step and say, and the only prescription, the only solution is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you have colon cancer, an acid is not going to help you. We're trying to cure man's problem with an acid. It's not going to help. We need Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. Our marriages need Jesus. Our families need Jesus. Because that is the only means of fixing man's problem. People come to me anymore, get saved. Their lives are in such a mess with sin. And I've lived a while, I'm 50 years old, but I can't begin to tell them how to unravel the mess. The only thing I can tell them, commit your life fully to your Savior Jesus, and He knows how. Just put your trust in Him. He is the answer. He is the answer. Jesus, it's through Jesus. He has procured our salvation. It's through what He has done. He died on the cross. It's through what He is doing. He's interceding to the Father for us. And it's through what He will do if we'll call upon Him. If we'll call upon Him. Would you come, music, this morning? Amen. There is no other way. Amen. Some people treat that like a bad thing. But I think it's a wonderful thing to know the way of salvation. Amen. It's not through psychology. It's not through education. It's not through philosophy. It's not through therapy. It's not through science. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. You may be here this morning and your life is a mess. I got good news. Sound like you've been preaching bad news? I have. Because when we realize how bad the bad news is, all of a sudden we realize how good the good news is. If you'll accept the fact that you're a sinner, I've got good news. You have a Savior. If you accept the fact that you have offended God, I've got good news. He will forgive you. If you'll accept the fact you're in rebellion against God, you're an enemy of God, I've got good news. He'll make you His friend. Hallelujah. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, aren't you glad for the good news of Jesus Christ? I was reading this week, many years ago, a couple of centuries ago, a young man decided he knew more than his parents, had a big fight with his dad, and ran away from home. He was gone many, many years, lived a life of wickedness. Whatever reports they got of him was reports of his debauched lifestyle. But somehow, when his father died, somehow somebody was able to get a hold of him, and he showed up 3 or 4 days later. They'd already buried his father, but this father left a will, and so that rebellious son with the family to the lawyer and sat there as the lawyer began to read his father's will. The young man was sitting there when his name was called, and the father right there in the will began to talk about how rebellious that son had been, about how many evil things that he had done and his wickedness and all the grossness of his sin. And the young man sat there getting more and more angry and more upset, and finally he jumped up, left that lawyer's office right in the middle of the reading of the will, and went out and lived for many more years in all that wickedness until he came back and heard, amen, that he had got up too soon. Because right when he got up, the lawyer, continuing to read the father's will, said, yes, my son has done all these things, but I want him to know I forgive him, and I'm leaving him this huge amount of money from my estate. Amen. He sat there and got upset at the bad news and left before they got to the good news. If he'd only sat there, he could have saved his life. Many inconveniences. I'm telling you, a lot of people, they hear the bad news and they get upset and they're up and they're out of here and they're gone. But I want to encourage you, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and convinces you of sin, and of judgment and righteousness. When the Holy Spirit says that you are an unbeliever, you're not saved, your life is a mess, don't get upset. Keep on sitting there. Keep on listening, because soon the Spirit's going to tell you, but my Father has forgiven you, and He's going to give you a huge inheritance if you'll just accept the gift of my Father through Jesus Christ. Would you stand if you're glad you're saved? Lift your hands across the building and say, thank you, Lord, for your gift. Go ahead and tell Him, I didn't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But, oh, Lord, you have given it to me. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's thank Him. Unworthy, undeserving. But He's given us the gift of salvation. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Church, I want you to begin to pray right now. You said, preacher, that sound a bit harsh. Oh, sometimes the truth is. But there's good news this morning. His grace is greater than all our sin. His love is deeper than the mess we're in. Hallelujah. If you're here today, you know in your heart, you agree that your problem is your relationship with God is not what it should be. That you're breaking God's laws. That you're going against what God would desire for humanity. Let's just put it frank. You know your problem is sin. How many's here would lift your hand and say, I'm just going to admit it this morning. My problem's sin, but I want that Savior. Would you lift your hand across the road? Anyone here, my problem is sin. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Just put your hand up and back down. Oh, God, hallelujah. Anyone else, just admit it. Just admit it. My problem's sin, and I want that Savior. I want eternal life. Hallelujah. Father, you've seen those that have raised their hands. Lord, I pray, I know that your Spirit talking to them. And I pray, Lord, now that they've accepted the bad news, they'll accept the good news. Accept the good news. You came into the world to save even the chiefest of sinners. You came to save them. You came that they might have life and have it more abundant. Lord, that now, right now as I pray, they'll now accept the good news that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help them to accept that good news right now. Hallelujah. I want every sinner in this house that at one point you recognized you were a sinner and you called out on God and He saved you and gave you life. I want you to come to this altar right now. Every sinner in the house, come and kneel. You say, I called on God and He saved me. Hallelujah. And as these are coming, God bless you, ma'am. As these are coming, I want others to come that God has touched your heart. That God has touched your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's call on Him. I want to call to others that have joined. Those that believe, you're here and you're not a believer. You need salvation. There'll be someone here to pray with you. We use this step. I know it's bad news. You already knew that. I didn't even need to tell you the bad news. You knew that. But oh, I want you to know there's good news this morning. No matter how you've been, no matter what you've done, if you'll call on Jesus, if you'll call on Jesus, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll call on Jesus, if you'll call on Jesus, hallelujah, if you'll call on Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, if you'll call on Jesus, if you'll call on Him. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, believe that Jesus died for your sins, Confess your sins. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Would there be others that would join these that are giving their hearts to Christ? You'd say, I'm glad I heard the good news. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to know you. I want to have eternal life. I want to have eternal life. Are there others who'd like to join these? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.